Speaking on this program is Stanley McInerney.
In 2 Timothy, the first chapter, verse 13, Paul tells Timothy, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith, in love, which is in Christ Jesus." The Church of our Lord has always been vitally concerned with the truth. Jesus said in John 8:32, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." It has always waged a relentless warfare against corrupting influences of wickedness. Wickedness in high places. Never, I don't believe that this nation has ever seen such turmoil, such ungodliness as is being done in this beloved nation of ours. The aborting of innocent children. Just think, from the time we've been in this building today, is estimated that approximately, let's see, what time is it? I guess over 100 babies have lost their lives. We've seen there's a murder done every 3 minutes. When we look at the statistics, it is just astounding. And therefore, there is an urgency to preach the truth in all its purity and simplicity. We're to preach it in love. We're to preach it in season, out of season. We're to do something that a great many people do not like. Sorry to say, some in the church. To be in season, out of season. To rebuke. We do not like to be rebuked. But nevertheless, the Lord says that we are to rebuke. To exhort in all long-suffering. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Our spiritual weapons are used, as I said just a moment ago from 2 Corinthians 10:5, against everything that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. We had a raise. God has given us the equipment to stand for the truth. Doctrinal apostasy was a menace in the early church, and it's a definite possibility. In fact, it is not a possibility. It is a reality. There is an urgent need today to adhere steadfastly to the faith once delivered unto the saints. Earnestly seek, as Jeremiah told the children of Israel, to seek the old path and walk therein. That's wonderful, isn't it? Seek the old path and walk therein. But today there are those that want to find the new path. We live on a street that a few weeks ago was just about as rough as anything. Been hard for a lumber wagon to go down it without getting shook to pieces. But the road superintendent came along and made us a beautiful road. And it's comfortable just to go down there. The car goes down. There's no jumping around. It's wonderful. And a lot of people today, both out and in the church, wanting a smooth. As Jeremiah said one time, that they wanted the prophet to preach unto them smooth things. Don't ruffle me, please. Don't ruffle me. Don't disturb me. I'm just feeling so good. Just don't disturb me. And today we have men that are trying to tell us that the old paths are not what they should be. We need a change. We need a new doctrine. We need a new culture in the church. And so Jeremiah told the children, walk in the old path. But they said, we will not do it. That is rebellion. Rebellion against Almighty God. And you know, simply because they did not take the old paths and walk therein, God punished them. We need, friends, to, as the saying is, go back to Jerusalem. I was reading a book, just finished it yesterday, in which a certain man said that Jerusalem is not the place to go back. That the book of Acts is not the place to go in order to learn about the church. Well, I've always been taught that the book of Acts was the hub of doctrine. Of course, the Holy Spirit guided Dr. Luke to write the book of Acts. But we have men that today that have got their PhDs, their LLDs, and everything else, that think that we need a new Bible. But spiritually speaking, we need to go back to Jerusalem. We need to visualize Peter and the rest of the apostles standing there in the portico of Solomon's temple and delivering the first gospel sermon. Do you ever consider what Peter really told those people? Listen to this. Ye men of Israel, hearken unto me. This same Jesus whom ye have crucified. Peter, what are you saying? You're accusing these people of murder? Yes, you crucified him. That's no way to get people to render obedience to the gospel. But what happened? When Peter got through addressing those people on the day of Pentecost, they were so pricked in their heart that they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" In other words, after listening to Peter and the rest of the apostles, they were so pricked in their hearts, they were so cut, having crucified the Son of God, that they wanted to know what to do to be saved. And Peter plainly told them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for or unto the remission of sin." That's plain speaking. That was a plain sermon. Doesn't take very long. Won't take as long as I will this morning. And yet, that is where we go to find out where the first gospel sermon was preached. We need to get back to the ancient landmarks. God has set within His authority the landmarks by which His gospel is to be preached. But where men are not satisfied, they want to set their own landmarks. Suppose somebody came along, and here's old Brother Earl down here, got his property, and I say, "Well, now here's your landmark. Here's the cornerstone there and the one there. I think I'll just remove this so that I get another acre of land." I don't believe Brother Jones would approve of that. I believe he would put up a fight, knowing him as I do. But when it comes to the matter of God's Word, when God has set the landmarks, the cornerstones, you might say, within this, you must stay. You cannot go any further. You cannot encroach on me. You cannot extend it. Men say, "Well, now, that is not but the way we see it." We're going to change that landmark. History has taught us 1,000 times that a breach in the dike of faith can admit a veritable flood of digression. Uncertain sound have and are now being heard that indicate the dire need of reaffirming our loyalty to the way of Christ in no uncertain terms. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4. Or I should say from the beginning of the chapter. "Now the Spirit expressly saith that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them that believe and know the truth." Now, what did you say, Paul? Timothy, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is telling us undoubtedly there's times coming when there'll be those that depart from the faith. Well, it did. It happened. Paul in 2 Thessalonians said the mystery of iniquity doth already work. While he was here upon this earth, Paul told the Thessalonian brethren and told us that the mystery of iniquity or the mystery of sin is already working. Men were not satisfied with what God is saying. I think we've come to the point where we must vigorously, or as we said in the Bible class, contend earnestly for the ancient faith in this day and time. Ours is a time of religious, I didn't say Christian. Ours is a time of religious revolution when the sacred altars of the past are being overturned. The foundations of faith are being destroyed by some who deny the living God. Or that there is no such thing as a heaven. There is no such thing as a hell. Old Robert Ingersoll, the notorious infidel, went all over the United States preaching his atheistic teaching. When his brother died, he stood beside the open grave, and as they lowered the casket into the bosom of the earth, he was so shaken that he made this statement: "We step out between two barren peaks into an unknown eternity. Oh God, have mercy on his soul. Oh God, have mercy on him." There will not be an infidel in hell. There'll be believers, but they'll be believing too late. We may deny, men may deny God while they're living, but when it comes to the hour when we bid a goodbye to this earth, it'll be too late. In an age when man has achieved amazing technology, knowledge that sometimes staggers us, and has been extended into scientific horizons in outer space, we all need the more the direction of divine wisdom. The scientist down at Huntsville, Alabama, years ago, when he was living, Wernher von Braun, who by faith was a Lutheran, who had been converted from communism to democracy and worked in the atomic bomb and all these other things of this outer space business. When asked the question, does nothing go into nothing? He said, listen, there is an eternal being. There is an eternal being. Yes, there is. But there's a revolution against this eternal being. There's a revolution against divine wisdom. When we turn to the book of Jude as we were studying in the Bible class, Jude 3 and 4. Let me read it again. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write to you that and to exhort you to contend earnestly for the faith once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unaware, who were before ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I mentioned a while ago that there are men today, even in the church, that are denying Christ. And you say there's not a revolution? Yes, there is. There is a great need today for vigilance, for watchmen, as it were, to stand on the walls of Zion and watch the lack of spiritual knowledge of God's will among many of us who claim, I said us, who claim to be members of the church, is nothing short of astounding. Some appear not to have even have the vaguest notion why we stand where we do, or why we're going and why we're doing certain things in our worship. I fear that many of our own members belong to the same manner many others belong to in denominations. In fact, I have heard one or two preachers preach, and they could preach in the Catholic Church, and they wouldn't object it one bit. Why? Because they will not stand in the old path. Being a member of the Lord's Church is with some a matter of circumstance and not intellectual conviction. It says, and they were convicted in their hearts. We need today to be thoroughly convicted that what is in the New Testament is what God has told us to believe with all our heart, mind, and soul. Be ready. The Bible tells every member of the body of Christ, be ready to give an answer to everyone that asketh you a reason for the hope that is within you, doing it with meekness and with fear. How many of us can do it? The lack of understanding of the Bible is so widespread in the church that even the fundamentals of the Lord's will is lacking. The lack of understanding is so widespread. When children and visitors are excluded, we need to let people know that. I like the way that the announcer, I don't know his name, but I like the way he said it. The doors are always open. Now, that doesn't mean these doors here. I don't know that's the way he meant it. But let me tell you something. The doors of the church have never been closed since Pentecost. They've always been open, day or night. If we are thoroughly convicted of the proposition that I am a member of the church, then I will know just exactly what I need to teach my neighbor, doing it in kindness, but doing it with conviction. I've baptized people every day of the week. I didn't need to wait till Sunday. I've known men that would come and say, now look, I was listening to this, or I was got a retract and I read it. I would like to know just a little bit more what the Church of Christ believes and teaches. We, brethren, should be ready to tell that person or those persons just exactly what we teach, what we believe, what we teach, in order that they might be saved. There are numerous situations present today that are causing great concern. Conditions that do not comport with the unique posture of the New Testament church. We're not here contending for blind, factional loyalty to Church of Christ tradition. We're not here just to hear catchy cliches. We don't believe in party shibboleths. We don't believe in denominational dogmas. But we are emphatically contending for an unabated loyalty to the truth of Almighty God. I was telling in the Bible class about a man out in Abilene, Texas, Abilene Christian College, and I put a question mark behind that word Christian, that is telling his preacher student that the birth of Christ was not of the Holy Spirit, but it was of a scandal that Mary was a prostitute. That's right. You're hearing it right. That this man, a Bible teacher, says that the Virgin Mary was a prostitute. Now, how do you think he's going to stand before Almighty God? Brethren, we need to get back to the truth. We need to stand. Some sounds among us today are so disconcerting and do not have the resonant ring of the primitive faith. It is being contended that by some that faith in Christ is solely on the basis of a fellowship. Hence, a common fellowship of all believers is being advocated, and that crossing sectarian lines or boundaries doesn't matter. There are also emerging an exaggerating emphasis upon scholarship, a sort of intellectus cultus. In other words, intellectual culture, or to put it in plain, simple language, an elite core of the most learned. I was talking to a young preacher not too long ago, and it seems that he's had 2 years in college. And he said, Brother Mac, I would like to get into preaching. He said, I've applied to 2-3 congregations, and they have sent me a resume. I filled it out, and they sent it back and said, we're looking for somebody with a PhD. Isn't that something? I feel like, how many of you knew Brother Marshall Keeble? Somebody asked Brother Keeble one time if he had a PhD. He said, what's that? They said, it's a degree. Oh, yes, he said, I've got it. PhD, post-hole digger. I've done many of it. Now, that put that old boy back in his place. But we've come to the point today where, you know, I have a great respect, or did have a great respect, and still love his memory, Brother Ruth Higgins. You know, if he were alive today and made an application for to preach someplace other than East End, you know what? Just who do you think you are? Who do you think you are trying to come in here and ask us for a position? Why, you haven't got past the high school yet. I'll tell you what. Brother Higgins converted more people than a lot of these PhDs, MAAs, and all these others. Yeah. But today we have this idea that we've got to have these unique people. They're the only ones that can be delivering the truth. But on the other hand, these are the men that will preach. Now, you may not know these men, but they preach for a man by the name of Tillich and Berth and Brunner and Nyberg more than they do Paul, Peter, John, and Christ. Oh, they know these theologians, and they'll quote and say, well, now, Dr. Tillich knew this, and Dr. Tillich said this, and Dr. Brunner said this, Dr. Barth said this, but they will not utter one verse of Scripture. I've heard them go through an hour of talking. I'm not saying it's preaching. Go through a whole hour of talking and never mention one word of Scripture. That, my friends, is genuine high-class education. Questions are being raised today about the relevancy of the restoration principle. And we are being urged to cast aside our chain, to be truly emancipated from the traditions of old. Get away from those old paths. Get away from them and quit walking in them. There's been in the past few years a definite relaxation in our doctrinal and moral standards in such areas as marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Someone said you can get divorce easier than changing an automatic car today. That's about true. As one fellow said, why, we've even changed the ceremony anymore. It used to be until death do you part. But he said it's been changed. It's now until the novelty wears off. And that's about right. As one preacher said, he said it used to be that our kids are fighting. But now today it's I won't give any name. Mother, your kids and my kids are fighting with our kids. That's about the way it is. Some children are growing up don't even know who their father was. And yet, we're afraid to speak out against it. Social drinking goes on. We say not a word. If we maintain, and we must maintain, the spiritual ground, the scriptures must be strictly adhered to. The Word of God is the standard. By it, we must. I was watching several months ago a man working on a lathe, a metal lathe, had those glasses on, and he was just meticulously working on that shaft about so long. Oh, it wasn't more than 2 inches long. And he was particular, so particular, that he was getting it down to the nth degree. I said, what in the world are you so particular about? What are you particular about? Well, he said, Brother Mac, that fits into a sleeve that has been drilled to perfection. And if I do not get this down to the right dimensions, even to, I forget what hundredth of an inch it was, he said, it will cause that core to be cut. It won't work. I thought, how good. Wonderful. Well, it's the same way with the Bible. God has honed His Word down to perfection. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. It is perfect. We don't need a change. What we need is to apply our heart and soul to it. If something now present in their present stage in the church are allowed to grow to fruition, they represent a potential apostasy. Those who are determined to preserve the purity of the ancient order of things therefore must let their voices be heard and not be moved. I shall not be moved. There used to be a song by that. I shall not be moved. The church of the Lord must be safeguarded against human ways, human wisdom, human philosophy, and all else would be encroach upon divine truth and pollute the way of the Lord. Brethren, we need to stand, and having done all, to stand. If you're here today and you have never rendered obedience to the gospel, friend, all we have to offer you is what the Lord said, that you believe His word with all your heart, that you repent of the things that you have done against His will, that you confess the name of Christ, His only begotten Son, that you go down to the waters of baptism to rise to walk in newness of life, and He will add you to the Lamb's Book of Life. If, on the other hand, you have known the way of truth, you have walked back, you've gone back on that promise that you made, I will stay with you until death, then you need to come back and let the prayers of the brethren rise, that your sins may be forgiven through Jesus.